Welcome to the Dr. April Jasper Show, relevant conversations for business owners of today. We are thrilled to have CooperVision as a sponsor of the Dr. April Jasper Show. CooperVision is a global leader in contact lenses. What I love about CooperVision is their dedication to our patients, as evidenced by CooperVision's MySight One Day, the first and only FDA-approved soft contact lens proven to slow the progression of myopia in children aged 8 to 12 at the initiation of treatment. Welcome, everyone, on the Dr. April Jasper Show. We have a special guest, Dr. Justin Kwan. Justin, it's so good to have you here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I think that everybody probably knows you. You do a fabulous job of marketing all of what's going on in myopia on social media. And that's one thing I love about you. I also love seeing your family.
Oh, thank you.
I don't know if they know for sure what your title is at CooperVision. So Justin, you are head of myopia management, correct?
That is correct. It was a somewhat recent change in January. It'll more formally be announced probably soon.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So tell everybody what that means. Give them a little bit of an update on what you do at CooperVision. I know that we are both passionate about myopia management. We'll get into that a little bit. But start by letting everyone know kind of what is your role at CooperVision? What do you do? And what do you anticipate seeing happen this year, 2024?
Absolutely. So, man, April 14th will be 4 years for me with CooperVision. And it's been such a exciting, rewarding, and strenuous at times journey. But I really appreciate how firmly and fully CooperVision committed to myopia management. I mean, when you think about 4 full-time optometrists just dedicated to myopia with us on professional affairs, that speaks volumes. And we are working tirelessly with folks within CooperVision and external to CooperVision to not only just bring awareness to this urgency and need to help these kiddos, but to really kind of turn that into action. Because I think awareness is great, but the time is ticking. And so every day looks a little different. And it's really been great to, you know, be with our colleagues around the country and share ideas and educate and really take some actionable things back to the practice. I think the best part of my job is I just get to disseminate all these like wonderful learnings. Yeah. I'm sure we'll talk about a few of them on this podcast here as well. So that's kind of in a nutshell.
I love it. And Justin knows my passion for myopia management in that my dad was my first patient ever. And of course, dad is dad. So technically first person I ever knew with myopia, Justin.
Yeah.
So tell everybody what made you become so passionate about this. And we're going to talk a little bit also about CECO and some of the education that happened there, some of your learnings, some of mine from that event. But start with kind of why is Justin so passionate about myopia management?
Well, to no surprise, a lot of us are, you know, have myopia ourselves, and I'm definitely in the minus 10 bucket, and so is my wife. But thankfully, my first grader and kindergartner have not crossed into myopia yet. But really, it's a personal story. It's one of those things I'm, you know, very open with, that I had a PVD when I was 36 years old. I have a really long eye at 28 and a half millimeters, and my son Jake actually knows exactly how long my eye is. But yeah, we definitely live it every day. And I remember that my wife's cousin, I guess cousin-in-law, he had a PVD that turned into a horseshoe tear while on vacation in South Korea. So there are so many stories of like unfortunate things happening to adults, to us as adults, not even as older adults, as like, I wouldn't even consider myself middle-aged yet, but as younger adults, and that uncertainty of, you know, will that be a visually impairing type of event, or will I survive and live another day with good vision, right? Wow. So there's so many reasons why we commit to this.
And it's great to know, I'm sure as a parent, you're thrilled to know that there's something you can do.
Yes.
To make sure your children don't live that same life in a sense, you know?
Yeah. The control is back into our hands, as we
exactly.
say.
I know, you know, I was thinking about it this morning as I was preparing to talk to you today. And I was thinking about how big a deal it is to me that my son, we found early on, was developing myopia. We did something about it for him. And he never progressed from the
Amazing.
moment I found out. So I did auto refraction on my kids every 3 months. And people know it is what it is. But I was worried because of my dad being a nine diopter myopath.
Totally.
I didn't want that to happen to our kids. And so he went from Plano to minus 150 in one eye in 3 months.
Wow, it's
And so we
fast.
started him right then on the only thing we knew to do at the time, which was CRT. And so we put him in ortho K lenses, and he, believe it or not, never progressed. And I think of it now, and that's what I was thinking about this morning, as one of the most important things I've done for him in his life.
Oh, yeah. What a huge win and a
Yeah,
victory, right?
exactly. So tell me about SECO. What were your thoughts? And most people that are listening know what SECO is, but I'll let you get kind of into the nitty-gritty of what were kind of some of your takeaways, reflections on myopia.
Being somebody that grew up in California that lives in Chicago, SECO wasn't really on my radar, but I realized how special it is and both doctors and staff alike, making the effort to come, not only from just the Southeast, but from all over the US. And I would like to hear some of your reflections as well. I think it's so great that you got to pinch hit this year as well on the myopia panel. And with last year, I'll never forget what you said on stage is like, there is no excuse today, meaning we know so much through the evidence base and the science and just what's happening before our eyes that there's no excuse to not help these children. And yet, change is hard, right? And I also appreciate how SECO committed a lot of resources to what they call this hot topic breakfast session, where I think last year about 700 attendees, and this year maybe 600 or so. Like, where else can you gather this many doctors in a room to really get the latest and greatest? And so that was really kind of my place of gratitude to get to share what we've learned in the short amount of time we had with this audience. But really, that myopia control has become more easy and more simple, and it's just something we show up and do. It's as some would say, it's primary eye care. It's less of a specialty now because we're all kind of equipped to do this and to do this well.
And I like what you said on stage. I remember you talking about some of the experiences that you've had, but one of the things you always make a point of is to remind us that whatever you're doing to treat myopia, you are doing myopia management. And so whether I choose to do something that is going to help to prevent the progression of myopia or just give patients glasses, either way, I'm doing something. And so we are bound. It's gone from an opportunity to an obligation in my mind, Justin, to do something that's going to make a difference for patients. And it's exciting that we can.
It is. People forget about the exciting, rewarding part until they live it, and they just have to get that first one or two patients under their belt.
I love it. All right, talk to me about standard of care. So I know
Yeah,
that's a hot
so
topic.
it is. I mean, the World Council of Optometry declared it 3 years ago, so that would be April 2021. I'm saying April a lot. It's great because that's your But yeah, I think some ODs might look at that standard of care declaration as possibly a slight negative, like, oh, we have to do this now. But I think you and I turn that around and say, we get to do this. We get to be a part of these children's lives. And it's just, again, something that we do as primary eye care providers. And it's no different than managing any other disease states. We don't let a corneal ulcer worsen. We don't let glaucoma worsen. We just step up to the plate and fulfill our optometric
So
oath.
I want to kind of lay the groundwork for people that maybe don't know the numbers as well as you do, Justin. You live this every day. So I want to help them to know the numbers too. And here's back, if we back up though, this whole standard of care thing, the reason I think it's fabulous is because the biggest challenge I've had over the last 25 years of myopia management has been how to have a conversation with parents to where they believe me and don't think I'm making something up. And so when this standard of care statement came out, just think of the difference now for doctors today. You are so blessed, all of you out there that are doing this, because you have something different to talk about. Your conversation is so much easier.
That is a
So,
huge step. Yeah. And in
isn't that
that
incredible?
supporting the conversation, because it's almost like, Well, mom or dad, because it is standard of care, I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't help your child, you know?
Exactly. I love it. Just those words, Justin, that changes everything for
It
people
does.
now. All right. So, what is our current understanding of the myopia opportunity?
We're blessed with like the recent 2020 census, and then I made sure to be careful about estimating the urban versus rural rates of myopia, knowing
Okay.
there's less myopia in rural parts, maybe the time outdoors and other sorts of things. But yeah, I did an ARVO poster a few years ago, and our estimation is 19.5 million kids, age 5 to 17 with myopia here in the US, which translates to 25 kids a month for every optometrist and every ophthalmologist. So 25 kids a month, I think that would surprise a lot of our
Yeah.
listeners.
How so how many of those do we know? How many of those are currently wearing contacts?
Oh, very, very few. So we took a different data set recently. You might be familiar with GPN. They had 70,000 pediatric eye exams, which was sampled from 100 practices. So I was really happy with both of those large numbers.
Yes.
And April, we're finding that 95% of kids age 8 and 9, they're eligible for
Wow.
MiSight, but 95% of them are wearing glasses, essentially a device that lets their eyes get worse.
I don't even understand. I really
I
don't. I mean,
know.
standard of care is what it is. The obligation is there. Well, it's okay. We're going to make a difference, right?
Step by step, we're hopefully going to reach a tipping point this summer with the back to school and so on.
Exactly. So, what are some habits and systems that can help the average optometrist?
Yeah, man, I love the book Atomic Habits, right? It starts with
Yes.
identity and little small changes, adding up to a large difference. The first one I always recommend is that in your assessment and plan, just start documenting that you described and, talked about the urgency and need to treat. Even if you don't do anything that day, start getting in the habit of documenting that in your assessment and plan. And the second big one, of course, is like utilizing your staff. From the pre-arrival, pre-testing, post-handoff, like everybody should say a couple of things about treating myopia rather than just giving the child clear vision temporarily. As we know, you mentioned your son that, man, kids grow fast and change happens quick. So, how can we really reinforce that message and really magnify the problem without making it too scary? But really, put the parent in the position to act,
I've taken a lot of the resources you guys have on your website. And I've made posters for my practice. So some of the statements even that you have, I mean, you guys have done a fabulous job of creating what we need to get that message out. And I think, Justin, the one thing I've learned is that not everybody decides that they want to do something today, but they get that thought going. And sometimes it's a month, sometimes it's 6 months, sometimes it's a year. But as a parent, when you hear what's going to happen to your child, when you hear what the future is, I don't think there's any parent out there that doesn't want to do something about it.
Totally. And a lot of the, things you see in our materials have been tested with thousands of parents. And I need to share that more because I think that's a new type of evidence base that
Oh,
does
yeah.
kind of pull some emotional connection in that has been tested to work, straight from focus groups, from what parents have said when the doctor's not in the room. And so we really commit to excellence in that way to, again, hopefully make our colleagues' lives easier.
The other thing it does for me is when I have a poster out in the reception area that talks about the epidemic of myopia, what it does for me as the doctor is it really helps to remind me that I better have a conversation with every patient in the exam room as well.
That's the cue from Atomic Habits, right? Make it obvious so that we are conditioned to talk probably enthusiastically about it too, right? Because like, oh, you're almost being held accountable by that poster,
That's
right?
right. It's true. You know it. Oh, so what would you say is something that, well, let me just say it a different way. What makes myopia management easy? I mean, you made as a comment earlier that said that where you said it's a lot easier now. Tell me what you mean by that.
We've come a long way, man, with like 22 years of Paragon CRT and how the calculator really promotes larger diameters, 11.0 versus 10.5, and almost every lens should be dual axis to get that nice centration and treatment. That was kind of a more recent learning in the past couple of years. But on the MiSight side, we all can fit daily disposable spherical soft contact lenses. So other than the 6 month visit, I do think it takes the same amount of time as any other single vision, soft contact lens there. So that's been a lot easier, but probably the most is what you said earlier, that because this is FDA approved to slow the progression, that FDA approval makes the conversation a lot shorter. Rather than spending 5 minutes explaining off-label, whether it's you or your staff, and this is why we're choosing off-label and so on. It's like, we'll start here first. The International Myopia Institute supports that, and we'll go to other things second, third, as needed. But yeah, I think those couple of things, being a daily disposable soft and that FDA approval, has made a huge difference.
I love it. I agree completely. I think this is a great thing for everybody to be really thinking about, not just getting started with, but being consistent with, because as you said, how many patients a month? 25?
Yeah,
Is that the
25
number?
a month. Yeah.
25 a month. Those are the people that we can make a difference for. And hopefully nobody, the way I like to say it too, Justin, is nobody should end up like my dad, a nine diopter myope in his 60s. That shouldn't happen to any of the patients we see today. Don't you agree?
Absolutely, 100%.
So as we close this moment together and leave everybody with some parting words, what would you say, Justin, and in summary, as people start thinking more and more about myopia management and where they need to be putting all their energy, how do they get started? What are some closing words you'd have for them?
Yeah, I would say try to have 10 conversations a week with your patients. Whether you see patients 3 days, 4 days a week, aim for 10 conversations a week because even if you're only successful half of the time, that's five more patients. But it really is kind of getting out of our own way and whatever maybe mental block that we have. And just remember that this can be a simple and easy conversation, which I think we'll tee up next time, but this is just something we almost owe it to the children in our community. And thankfully, the parents that are the adults in our practice, the adult patients already trust us. And so why wouldn't we take care of these families in the best way we can?
I love it. Thank you, Justin. You are amazing. I love that you are so happy all the time, and
Oh, thanks.
probably because you're passionate about what you do every day. So we appreciate you and keep up the good work.
Thanks so much, April.
If you suffer from dry, scratchy, irritated eyes, the problem may actually stem from your eyelids. Cleansing eyelids daily is essential for maintaining healthy eyes, which is why doctors recommend OcuSoft Lid Scrub Allergy Eyelid Cleanser. New OcuSoft Lid Scrub Allergy removes oil, pollen, and other contaminants from your eyelids to effectively reduce redness, irritation, and itching caused by seasonal allergies. These pre-moistened wipes are easy to use, on the go, or at home. Simply wipe and leave on. As the industry standard of care, OcuSoft has a full line of eyelid cleansers for various conditions. Available through eye care professionals, most retail outlets, and Amazon.com. Visit OcuSoft.com for more details.